Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5-year long study of the New Testament. Today's broadcast, lesson number 3 of week number 39, studying Mark chapter 11. As we get started, these reminders. For all of our free materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. If you miss any of our IGH 260 broadcasts, you will find them archived at internationalgospelhour.com/IGH260. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. To study the Bible online, go to IGH.worldbibleschool.org, or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call us toll-free at this number, 1-855-IGH-6988, to receive a free 30-lesson Bible study series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. Let's return to our study of Mark chapter 11. Here's where we were at the end of our last program. Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. The final week, Jesus enters Jerusalem. The story of the colt, Hosanna to the Lord, the quick trip to the temple, to Bethany with his disciples. As Jesus and the 12 approached Jerusalem, Jesus sent two of the disciples to travel ahead, to enter the village opposite them, and to bring a colt that they would find there back to Jesus. The disciples entered the village. They found the colt just as Jesus said they would, and they were approached by some witnesses there about their purpose. As Jesus instructed them, they said the Lord has need of it, and they were on their way back to Jesus. When we think about Jesus' miracles, we often center on those that were dramatic, physical events. Jesus healed many. He cast out demons. He walked on water. Jesus stopped storms, and Jesus fed multitudes. There are at least 34 distinct miracles recorded in the Gospels, many of them appearing more than once across all 4 accounts. All of those miracles were characterized by their overt physical nature. The people who witnessed these miracles were astonished and amazed. Many drew the conclusion, or came close to the conclusion, that these miracles demonstrated that Jesus was the Christ. As great as these visible and physical demonstrations of Jesus' power were, there's another element about Jesus' power and Jesus' ability that we need to consider, and that's what Jesus knew. We find multiple references to Jesus' unique knowledge throughout John's account. We start in John 1:47 with Jesus' knowledge of Nathanael's character. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." What Jesus knew about Nathanael was the first of many such episodes in Jesus' life. In the closing verses of John chapter 2, we see why this was possible. That passage reads, "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, during the feast, many believed in his name, when they saw the signs which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them, because he knew all men, and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man." That's John 2, 23-25. Jesus, as the Son of God incarnate, that is, God in the flesh, had a transcendent knowledge, a knowledge that reflected his divine nature. The Samaritan woman at the well learned quickly that Jesus knew more about her than was humanly possible. Jesus never met her. Jesus never sent spies ahead to check out her story. Yet Jesus knew, and Jesus revealed to her, many of the details about her past and her present life. When she left Jesus and went into the village, she said this to the townspeople, "Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" John 4, verse 29. What we read in this context of Mark chapter 11 appears to be an equally powerful indication of who Jesus was. In this chapter, we witness another occasion where Jesus knew something that revealed his prescience, that is, his foreknowledge. What Jesus knew about his impending death, already mentioned at least three times to this point in Mark's record, appears to be more than a generic knowledge of a few key events. It appears to be more wide-ranging and more detailed than what we might have considered before. Let's think about that some more. The colt was not miraculously delivered to Jesus. Jesus did not just snap his fingers in order to make the colt appear before him. No healing took place. No storms were calmed, nor were the winds and the waves stopped. No multitudes were fed. Jesus simply instructed two disciples to go into the village and return with a colt, a very specific colt. Jesus told them where they would find the colt. Matthew's record tells us that they would find both a colt and a donkey, Matthew 21, verse 2. The two disciples would see it as soon as they entered the village, Mark 11, verse 1. Matthew 21, 2 says, "Immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her." It would be a colt that had never been ridden before. It would be tied by a door outside on the street. Some people would be standing nearby. Jesus told the two disciples what to say if they were asked what they were doing by loosing that colt. The disciples were to tell those who asked that the Lord has need of it, and they would be granted permission to bring that colt to Jesus. As noted earlier, it's obvious that, as we read through this account, we see two versions of the narrative. The first one, as Jesus told the two disciples what would happen, and then the second one, as it actually happened. As we study both accounts, the what would happen account and the actually happened account, as we see both unfold, everything took place just as Jesus said it would. And the big question, how did Jesus know? One commentator, as he discussed this passage, introduced two possible explanations. Jesus' words to the disciples have been interpreted as an example of either his supernatural knowledge or his prior arrangements for his entrance into Jerusalem. End of citation. The two possible explanations, either Jesus knew what would happen supernaturally, or Jesus had prearranged these details in anticipation of his arrival and his planned entrance into the city of Jerusalem. In support of the first option, this writer noted that Jesus, on numerous occasions, showed a prophetic knowledge of the future. In support of the second possibility, he wrote that there was also precedent for commandeering an animal for a limited time. He looked at both alternatives and said, with regard to the first option, if this is the correct understanding, it would be an example, once again, of Jesus' supernatural knowledge and lordship. That statement was followed immediately after the inline references with this sentence, abbreviated via ellipsis for both brevity and clarity. On the other hand, the exactness of the details, the reply, the Lord has need of it, the specific description and nature of the colt, and the acquiescence of the people in letting the two disciples take the colt suggest that Jesus probably prearranged the acquisition of this colt for his entry into Jerusalem. Two options and supporting evidence for each was introduced. But, unless I missed something along the way, no definitive choice was made by the writer. He did observe, however, that Mark fully intended for this account as a whole, and not just the colt portion, to be part of a larger messianic act. He also noted that later accounts, referring to Matthew, Luke, and John's record, that later accounts make the messianic nature of this occurrence more explicit. Though this commentator introduced and then cited support for each option, Either it was Christ's supernatural knowledge or a prearranged set of circumstances, there was no definitive conclusion on his part reached. Let's take the time to be more definitive here. More distinctly, let's make what, hopefully, will be a stronger case for Jesus' supernatural knowledge as being the better explanation. Though one of the options was that Jesus had prearranged the details for the colt to be delivered to him, there's nothing in this text or in parallel passages that demands that. Nothing here or elsewhere proves that Jesus made the arrangements himself. Nothing here or elsewhere proves that Jesus delegated others to make such prior arrangements. That we find examples of others commandeering animals on a short-term basis, that proves nothing. But there are multiple examples of Jesus knowing supernaturally what was going on around him. We already cited the closing verses of John chapter 2, where we learned that Jesus did not need to be told what was in man because he knew all men. We also noted two specific examples, what Jesus knew about Nathanael and what Jesus knew about the Samaritan woman that he met at Jacob's well near Sychar. Are there other examples? Yes, there are many examples. In addition to declaring at least three times in advance that he would be betrayed, tried, crucified, and resurrected, the culminating events of the gospel narratives, Jesus knew many other, what might be considered as incidental details about what would happen. Jesus knew what others were reasoning within themselves, Mark 2, verse 8. Jesus knew about the hardness of hearts of others, Mark 3, verse 5. Jesus, when the woman touched his garments so that she could be healed, he was aware that power had gone out of him, Mark 5, verse 30. Jesus knew what the disciples were thinking after he warned them about the leaven of the Pharisees, Mark 8, verse 17. Jesus knew of the hypocrisy of those who tested him about paying taxes to Caesar, Mark 12, verse 15. Jesus knew about the impending destruction of Jerusalem and its temple, Mark 13, starting in verse 1. Jesus knew that there would be false Christs coming, Mark 13, verse 21. He knew that Judas would betray him, Mark 14, verses 18 and following. Jesus knew that the apostles would falter in faith as he went through his trials, Mark 14, 20. Jesus also knew that the man who claimed that he would never deny him, Peter, that he would in fact deny Jesus three times during the course of those trials, Mark 14, verse 30. We will continue our study of Mark chapter 11 in our next broadcast. We hope that you can join us at that time.